Praxis next with Paul Magaczek.
Doesn't seem so.
That's good. Sure smelled like it.
Oh, how come? How come if you smelled something burning, I got up and checked?
Because I was busy?
Oh, I was busy too.
Hi, we're Jane and Penny from Unity Players. And we're seven women from Vermont doing theater down in New York. We've got a new piece called Touchpoint. We're going to be here on the air from 4 to 6 on Monday, talking about our lives and work, and then performing at 8:30 in Studio C at WBAI at 359 East 62nd Street. And we'd like you to come.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock. And the Unity Players are here. Jane and Penny are here. Libby is here, Nancy, Serena, and Roz. And they're all very quiet. And and it's a, I guess it is true that this kind of situation of sitting at a table is totally unreal. And after about 10 minutes, it'll go away and we'll all just be talking. But at first, it feels very. And to remind you, we have to lean really close to the microphone so people hear us. As a very beginning, I want to say that people who can should come down to BAI tonight at 8:30 and bring your kids. And, the Unity Players are going to be doing Touchpoint, which is a piece I've seen twice now, and I think you would enjoy it very much. And we're at 359 East 62nd Street. Roz, let me start with you. You have to lean forward. Unity Players really began, if I'm not mistaken, as a group of men and women doing kind of anti-war street theater kind of stuff. Is that really the beginning of it?
Yeah, except it wasn't a theater group first. It was originally people involved in anti-war work and wanted to do, as part of that work, do a street piece around the war. And out of that, people began doing other pieces. And little by little, we became what we felt was a full-time theater group, where we met like 5 days a week and practiced all sorts of different theatrical things and began creating plays, mm-hmm. which we performed at that time mainly around the state at, well, one of the first, besides the streets, one of the first places was at a People's Fair. At Vermont First People's Vermont, what was it called?
The Vermont People's Fair.
Right. And it was the first time that there was fairs are a big thing in Vermont, and it was the first time that there was an alternative type of fair going on, and there were people like the Free Clinic and people, health centers and ecology people and people involved in Alpha Waves and women and women's groups,
co-ops.
And out of that, we did a piece around the war. And then,
That was Uncle... Was that Uncle Sam? Uncle Sam piece?
No, it was...
I don't know if it even had a name.
The bomb piece, we called it, because we had a big bomb in it. And, So this was a mixed group, and we kept working, and then one day, we looked around and we found that we were all women's theater group.
Did it actually happen like that?
Yeah, what happened was two of the men decided to go to Boston to do theater, and someone else moved to California. Someone else moved further away in Vermont, and it left the women. And we still didn't call ourselves a women's theater group at that point, because we were open to men, but we just happened not to have any men at that time. And I don't know, that evolved to what we are now.
Mm-hmm. But now would you call yourself a women's theater group? I mean, a theater group of women. Well, you are, obviously,
yeah.
That. But I mean, is that a conscious thing now, do you think, as opposed to then?
I feel like that's always a question that we get asked, you know, whether we consciously call ourselves a women's theater group. I think that sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And that in terms of working with men, that one of the things that we've said is that if a man wants to work with us, then we'll talk about it, you know. But that hasn't happened for a long time, and so we just haven't really dealt with it.
So it's not a line or anything
right.
Like that?
Right.
Well, or it's different, too, because I don't know about everybody, but I think some of us probably wouldn't want to work with men and feel real comfortable now working as a women's theater group. And coming to New York, we advertised ourselves as Vermont Women's Theater Group. So it's...
We advertised you on BAI, too.
That way?
Yeah.
So it's somehow that that thing has evolved to that's what we're calling ourselves, or that's part of our name.
Mm-hmm. What, I guess we could spend a little time thinking about that. What makes that... Is it different to be a women's theater group? Is the difference in that there aren't any men in it? It seems to me pretty obvious. It's more than that. It's the kind of things you would be concerned with. And I'm suspecting it's the kind of way you work, too.
I think it has a lot to do with that, the way in which we work, you know, as opposed to performance-type thing.
Yeah. Could you talk more about that? I mean, I've seen you rehearsing, you know, and I was reminded of the kind of theater that has emerged... In the last 10 years, it's much more improvisational. It's not as hierarchical in the sense of a director and a playwright. So it had that feeling about it of kind of the rehearsal being a kind of creative process, not just a rote memory of lines and so forth. So that I could see that I recognized that as a system. I'm wondering if there's something other than that.
Well, when you're all women trying to create a piece, it naturally affects, you know, what you're writing about, because you're writing about things that are concerning your lives or things that concern you, which, because you're all women, ends up being, you know, a piece that concerns women. And if you're, especially if you're writing a piece that's about your lives, you know, or partly about your lives, which this one is, then it ends up being, you know, a women's theater piece, because that's who we are. And we're the ones who are writing it. It's not like we're using someone else's plays, which might make a difference as to, you know, the content or how someone might view it in terms of the context of the piece.
Mm-hmm. I saw at the, it wasn't the first Vermont People's Fair, I think it was the second or the
mm-hmm.
third, you were then doing a piece about a psychiatrist. Which is from a poem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
By Judy Graham.
Yeah.
Right. Now I'm wondering, was that the first piece that you did that kind of reflected just women being in the...
No, because the piece that we were doing before that was the education piece. And that was...
Oh, that was with the school teacher and the bell and all that business. Huh?
Yeah, and although that was... the issue was discrimination in the classrooms. I mean, that was the theme of the piece. It definitely was predominantly about... roles inside institution, the roles that you get pushed into, the tracking and that kind of stuff. And that was all, because we were all women doing it, it was our history, our memories that came out inside the piece of the education system. And it felt
I remember when we first performed it was the first time that I had the awareness of how much it was definitely women doing the piece, you know, and that the words, the language, the emphasis at various times of the sexism and classism and things like that was definitely oriented around women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And women's point of view.
And women's point of view.
And also how people perceive you. If you're an all-women's group, they're going to perceive you really differently. And some audiences say, oh, you girls are really great. And
I'm so glad to see you getting out of the house.
Yeah, and other people are, you know, if it's a women's audience, more kind of people who we are, then they feel it more as a shared force. And it's not so much, they don't make us into small things again.
Mm-hmm. Or I guess there would be the tendency, too, I mean, as a man, I feel like an uneasiness, and as I try to examine it, it's got a lot of pieces to it. You know, it's like, exactly what am I feeling? I don't know. But one of them is the opposite of a small thing. It's a kind of like a fear, I guess, you know, an anxiety of what there's something going on here that I'm not part of, and therefore I can't control it or have any blah, blah, blah. There's that is like the other side, I think, of the same thing. So you do a kind of like very unreal sort of a reverence or something. Really fearful of exposing yourself.
Mm.
I'm wondering, when you went to high school doing the theater piece, the education piece, what kind of response
exposing
you got?
Exposing what part of yourself? What do you mean?
Well, the main...
I had to pick up on that.
I guess the first level of it is exposing, like, the way you think about women, you know, and to the extent that you're afraid of them or hate them or, you know, want to or don't want to compete. In other words, exposing who you are in relationship to women and maybe thinking that's not really together. So I guess that's one. And then under that is exposing what I might think of as being weakness to. I mean, I wouldn't know how to be not, I mean, most of what I know as being strong, I question. Kind of slick or this and that, and if I have to be something other than that, then I'm just totally at a loss. And I think it's okay, I mean, but it's like goes off and on all the time. For one minute I feel comfortable, and the minute I feel comfortable, then I feel that it's a role, and then, oh God, I feel very uncomfortable. As I was in the high school, that's what Touch Point's about too, really. Is what we just
right.
were doing
That's
here.
That's how we wrote Touch Point, by conversations yeah. like this among ourselves, but because we were women having these conversations that we had never had before with each other, that it took a real long time, and it took days and days of conversations like this, and through those conversations is how we wrote the piece. And that's, you know, the first part of the piece, that's what it is.
So in a sense, the heart of, if that thing we just did was to evolve into a piece, it would be one person trying to sort of lightly touching on something that's very significant and then trying to run off and go on with something else. That's
right.
Not, I seem to remember a point in the play where something like that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it is, but I do remember someone wanting to say, no, I don't, let's do this one or let's do that one, and someone saying, no, you just started something and you should continue. I don't remember the
particular moment. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. But of course now my linear head, I'm still back there. I guess it's important for people, I'm assuming that people would want to know history. I'm just thinking that how you wrote Touch Point, which people are going to see tonight, so I'm trying to think of like what the how that evolved. When you did,
I think the thing that, how it happened was that we were doing plays around specific subjects. The war, we tried something on health, Uncle Sam, bombs,
education.
Sexism in education, and we realized that we wanted to do a piece about ourselves, about what our inner feelings were, and things that we never talked about, or had a hard time talking about, or found difficult to talk about, and it was time to do that, and that's what Touch Point became.
We began working with Megan Terry's play, Comings and Goings, which is a series of dialogues. It's a series of relationships. One-to-one relationships. It's also in it is individuals' relationships to various institutions, police stations, banks, bars, things like that. And after working with that for a while, we all felt that it wasn't, that the form was really interesting, but that the dialogues themselves were not what we, in particular, are dealing with in our lives. You know, that there was a lot of conversations in there that none of us have and none of us experience. And so then we began to write our own dialogues, or to at least listen. I mean, for a long period of time, we were all walking around with notebooks, and any time, any place we were, you know, any houses or wherever you're having conversations or hearing conversations, we'd pull out our notebook and write them down and listen to them. And that's when we began to really have interesting discoveries about the patterns in our relationships, and seeing them not only just in our, you know, in our particular relationships, but hearing them all over the place, and we began to pick those up and try to put them into really a basic conversations that could be played a number of different ways. The relationships could be, with the same words, could be played a number of different ways. And that was kind of the goal in when we were writing each conversation, that we would take a conversation that would deal with insecurities, or deal with anger, or deal with hostility, or deal with a power trip, or those kind of abstract ideas of feelings, the different feelings that we go through. And then we were writing the conversations about each of those things and trying to find the ways that those various feelings come up in our relationships.
We dealt a lot with what we called power struggles at the time. That a lot, the way the scenes that we were using from Comings and Goings came out were that they were definitely like one person trying to manipulate the relationship and the other person being somewhat passive. And then we would change it from the way it had been, the stage directions in the play, in the book, were. And we would say, okay, now switch, you know, and you be the aggressive person and you be the passive person and just turn it around. And that got to be really fun, playing with the words and seeing that you could use the same words and just change your attitude about it and the whole relationship would change. And then after we worked with power relationships in our own scripts for a while, we really started wanting to develop something that we called an unthreatening situation, which would be like mutual aid, rather than always having to have one person be on the up and the other person being sort of underneath it, trying to create something that would be equal power. And sometimes that could be equal negative power, and sometimes it could be equal positive power, and then working towards something that would be much more like friends, you know, and not so much like, you know, friends who are really trying to explore the conversation and explore the problems of the relationship and not necessarily feeling that they had to win. And that got really interesting and exciting, but very, very difficult. I found it really difficult.
Yeah, I found that it really changed my life, and I found that I had a tendency to blame the words for what was coming down between me and somebody else, but that actually it was the way I was feeling, and I was using the words to get out my feelings in a relationship, you know what I mean?
If you mean if you could just change the words, it would be okay.
Yeah.
But which wasn't true.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was.
Sometimes it wasn't. That's a lot of the work we did is really finding out where the power lies. Is it in yourself or in the words? And how do you make a scene that you can play absolutely lovingly, supportively, or manipulatively with the same words, so you have a full range of emotions? And it's really changed my life, because I still hear everything going on around me all the time. I hear people's relationships. I get into a relationship, I see myself doing something that we do in the play or something. It's just mirrors everywhere.
Trying to write a script where the words would be as neutral as possible was really fun. You know, because you'd come in with a script one day and somebody would say, "You can't play that scene positive. I dare you," you know. And then we'd have to try it, because it had to be able to work both ways, or we wouldn't use it.
Isn't that a bit, isn't the problem that would come up there a bit like you listen to music? I remember several times having the conversation with people saying, oh, the Stones are really far out, but oh my God, the words are like really decadent and messed up. And you kind of can talk about the fact that art or playwriting or theatricality, that somehow if it's not decadent, it's not entertaining, then it's very hard. So
really?
I would think you must have had a problem with that too. I mean,
I still have that problem in performing. It depending upon how the audience is, that we've had times where the audience has not really been into the exploration of the relationships and has really wanted to be entertained, and that at times we've picked that up and fed that to them, you know, fed that back instead of being able to say, this is light, it is funny, there is humor in that, but there's also serious exploration and serious exposure and serious discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And you get tired of playing it like a soap opera.
that word, is, people asked me, came in if Nanette was going to be here tonight, which she is, and we had a conversation the other night kind of talking about what we would talk about today, and that was something that came to mind is she was talking about the whole, so many women are into soap opera, and not just the soap operas on TV, but, and that's like a very, both lucrative money term, I would think of that, but that it's like an area to really examine because it talks about human emotions and everything else. But is that, on some sense, a limitation too? Do women find themselves kind of dealing with the soap opera level of life and that being valuable because of the real personal contact,
it's so intense.
But also a limit? Does it have a limiting factor too?
For me, when I think of soap opera, I think of the symbolic acting out of the feeling and not being in touch with the feeling and acting it out itself. In other words, like turning away or having a fight with somebody where you're not really in touch with your own emotions about it, but symbolically getting angry because that does certain things. That, you know, that my getting angry at you may cause this to happen, you know, so I'm going to therefore get angry at you.
Working,
you know,
on
and trying, and for me, like, that's what soap operas is in that space, you know, of acting out the emotions and not feeling them necessarily, you know, and in Touch Point, it was really hard, but a really good struggle to try to do those relationships in the first part with our real emotions and to not do what's appropriate at the time or act out emotions that we think other people have, but to really get in touch with our own emotions and be able to make the space to act them out.
And not over caricaturize either, which is really, can be sometimes difficult in your gestures and things.
Yeah, to go beyond the plot of the soap opera. I mean, like, you can look at the plot of life and it's basically a soap opera, but it's to go beyond the acting, beyond the plot.
Do you think that's true? When I think of soap operas, I wasn't too clear. Do you mean that the acting out of the emotions is like somehow neurotic in the sense that it's not feeling it, it's playing it out? That you mean the acting out in the TV or in the place where it's being acted out for you, or do you mean the alienation of the person watching it and not? That's what I didn't understand. Is the soap opera internally alienated, or is it because it's over there and I see it?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't think it has to be alienating. I think soap operas can be neat. And there were a group of women in St. Louis that did a political soap opera. I mean, it was a soap opera with good politics. And I mean, I think it's a form. And because we're used to a form that politically is not, you know, doesn't relate to our lives or doesn't relate to how we think, that we reject it. But I don't think necessarily that it's a form that has to be rejected.
I guess at this point I'm confused about what you mean when you say soap opera, Rob.
Well, I was thinking of the soap operas that probably, you know, like a lot of people listen to on the radio or did, and that are now on television.
Secret Story.
Just the form of, like,
exploring human relationships, or exploring emotions.
Is that the space that's
a soap opera?
Is it so much exploration?
I don't think it's exploration.
Oh, they're really different these days, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I sort of agree with Roz, just in the sense that I think that the form doesn't have to be bad. I feel like that the way that they're used sometimes can be really destructive because there's no resolution or there's no... or, you know, the way that people support each other is not good, or the competition that gets set up between women specifically in soap operas on television that I've watched isn't great, but that the form itself can be all right, you know, just because it's a level of intensity, you know, that the feelings are really, like, heavy duty, you know? It's not like that people aren't trying to, you know, feel things, because you see, like, crying and screaming and ecstasy and all that stuff, you know, but I think that the way that they're portrayed on television is probably not very productive, and also that people, when they live their daily lives, maybe aren't living in that amount of intensity, and so they get frustrated, you know, at feeling like, well, maybe I should have a secret lover across town, you know, and where am I at because I don't have that, you know, or... you know, all those kind of things, you know, that's not pertaining to people's realities, you know, and I think that in Touchpoint, we try not to over-caricaturize or not to have scenes that are, like, out in some kind of comic book land, but more out of people's everyday lives, you know, and explore conversations that people have every day, you know, that can be really intense and heavy, or can be really light, and, you know, you walk away and then you think about it a couple of days later, maybe, you know, or something like that.
One of the ways Touchpoint, Jane was talking earlier about how Touchpoint has changed her, how she feels real different in her life and her relationships because of Touchpoint, and some of the feedback that I've gotten from friends in Burlington in my life and who have seen me change is that I'm a much more intense person now than I was 2 years ago, and that I feel like that exploration that we've done inside Touchpoint about relationships has really excited that intensity in all of us and caused us to demand that in all of our relationships.
That it can be exciting, it doesn't have to be as fearful, that we've all lived through a certain level of intensity and you don't have to feel afraid of it, that it can be exciting.
Yeah, I feel like there's a some new understanding in my life of friendship and how my relationships are ongoing, and I don't have to be so afraid. It's not such an unknown thing. And then you were talking before about does dealing with relationships and emotions and intensity actually limit women's experience? I think it does if it's not valued as important, but if the energy and the intensity and the discovery is there in relationship energy and it can be applied to your life and used in your life and the other things that you do, then I think it's not limiting. I think it's full of possibility and potential, and it just has to be balanced off with
well, you can see
the rest of the value in your lifestyle, life work.
I know that that conversation that I was having was based on the fact that there are certain kind of violent movies, films that are based on violence, which I have this game that I play. I know if I go to this movie that there's a certain part of me that's attracted to it, and that I'll sit through the whole movie. At the end of the movie, I will hate myself for sitting through this stupid movie on this senseless violence that's neither real, and it feeds on really terrible things in me. And actually, more than one woman has said the same thing about their feelings, not about violent movies, but about really crap kind of soap opera movies. They find themselves, like, going and saying, this is not real, those people are not feeling those things, I'm not really feeling what they're feeling, but it's a kind of a substitute mechanism that is kind of conditioned into me, and I've often felt that mine is in the area of, like, war and violence, and the other is in the area of the kind of alienated emotional stuff. And when I look at soap operas, it seems that way to me. The table, the bouncing of the table, right. We have to be careful with these tables because that noise is touching and probably very very irritating to people at home to have to listen to that.
I feel like that one thing that, in terms of what you've been talking about, is that that people get drawn towards soap operas or towards things like soap operas, anything from comic books to, you know, bad novels that are easy to read or anything like that. And that I feel like for me part of the attraction is that if I'm in a period of time in my life where I'm not feeling that, that I'm drawn to it in order to make me feel, in order to know that I can feel excited or feel traumatized or feel sad for somebody without having to have that in my own life. And that I can watch, you know, somebody who's lost their child or somebody's husband is run away or something and say, oh, poor thing, you know, and feel really terrible and really experience that feeling inside myself. So it's almost like a surrogate, you know, for having to feel it in my own life, you know.
Do you feel the real feeling?
And I feel like I'm able to feel it, really feel it, much more when I'm not having that intensity in my own life, you know, or when I'm searching for that intensity in my life, and that I move towards, that it's easier, you know, to watch something or read something that would cause me to feel that than to move out into my own life and try to feel that, you know, and that I don't have the need for it so much when it's happening in my own life, you know, or when I'm trying to have it happen in my own life and working towards that.
Mm-hmm. I should say, if people are just tuning in, that this afternoon we're talking to the Unity Players, Jane, Libby, Nancy, Serena, Penny, and Roz, and that tonight at 8:30 in Studio C at 359 East 62nd Street,